church. Just love it so much. Oh, summer soundtrack. Every week we'll have a different song, not so much the karaoke variety, but that served a specific purpose for this week. I think that all of us have probably been in a place, whether it's your favorite game where they sing Take Me Out to the Ballpark, or favorite bar on karaoke night, or maybe the friends are over and you guys have your playlist. And man, when certain songs come on, it's amazing, like you have certain friends that song, when it comes on, everybody loses their mind. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's like everybody's just like, yeah! And they start singing, everybody's like singing. And then there's also like the opposite experience. I don't know if you've ever been around someone or a group of people where they were kind of into a different genre of music, maybe one you're not familiar with, and the song comes on, same thing, yeah! And they all start singing and you're like, no. And you feel, watch this, incredibly disconnected based upon the fact that you don't know the song. It's clear they know something that you don't know. We talked about, as we were thinking about this series, kicking it off with this classic, because it's amazing that when we know the same song and when we're singing the same song, that unity, that agreement allows us to connect. I stopped in at Rudy's this week, and little girl working there, teenager, knocked it out of the park. I was like, Sweet Caroline, bum, 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 and she like nailed it. I was like, yes. We don't even know each other, but we were able to share a connection through Sweet Caroline. And so, even strangers that are familiar with the same lyrics, it allows a connection to occur. I want you to start thinking about today, a prophet in the Old Testament, Amos, he said a famous verse, "Do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so? Do two walk together unless they agree to do so?" And how important and impactful agreement is in your relationships, whether it's at the marriage level, family level, work level, the God level. And I wanted us to explore your level of agreement today and talk about how we can agree, and that allows us to advance. He fortifies his argument by giving two examples, two generalities. Now watch this, he says in verse 4, "Does a lion roar in the thicket if he has taken no prey? Does he growl in his den when he has caught nothing? Does a bird swoop down to a trap on the ground unless the bait is there? Does a trap spring up from the ground if it has not caught anything?" Here he's producing a synthetic argument where one builds upon the other. And he's saying that one doesn't happen unless this other one happens first. In other words, one has to precede in order for the other one to proceed. And so when we think about togetherness, when we think about direction, when we think about advancing, he said agreement has to happen before you can advance. In other words, we can't walk together for any length of time without agreement first happening. And I'm going to tell you, if you've ever had experiences like the ones I'm going to mention, you will readily admit to me that agreement is important. Have you ever had a meeting with a group of people? I mean, if you're a boss, a parent, or you work in a school or a coach, you'll finish this argument / statement / principle before I ever do, okay? You ever get in the huddle, you get in the meeting room, and everybody's sitting there, and you go through the agenda, it's as clear as you could possibly make it, and everybody is like, yeah, and then they leave the huddle, they leave the meeting, and there's always one. Can I get an amen? There's always one. They go running off in the wrong direction. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I coached every one of my kids, every one of them. And I feel like that's how I earned the wings, okay? And so I remember, like, my middle son, I remember he was like, "Dad, I don't like it when you yell at me." I was like, "That's the only language they understand, okay? Like, little children, you yell, okay? On a soccer field, they don't understand, 'Hey, guys, go over there.' No, they understand, 'Get it, get it, get it!' That's what they understand. Go out to any soccer field, that's what they understand." And so I remember coaching so many times, and I remember flag football was one of the worst, one of the worst. I remember looking at this kid dead in the eye, dead in the eye. And I was like, okay, we're going to hike the ball, right? Okay. When we hike the ball, I'm going to put the ball out like this, and you're going to come, you're going to take it from me, and you're going to run right down that field. Okay. Got it? I was like, well, what are we going to do? Hike the ball. Yeah. Who am I going to give it to? Me. Where are you going to run? Down the field. Yes. Hike the ball. He just goes running out to the side like he's running. I'm like, 3 seconds. How did we agree and you do that? Can anybody say amen if you've been through this experience? Like you thought you had agreement, right? And then you realized after they go to execute the plan that you really don't have agreement. Have you ever tried to build or create consensus with stubborn people? Anybody ever worked with stubborn people? Like, let's just play it out. Like, you're in a meeting and like everybody's kind of pitching ideas for a little bit, and then there's like a consensus that begins to form around plan C, okay? There was four plans, plan A, B, C, D. Plan C was the one, you had 10 people in the room, 8, 9 of them have said, you know what, after the battle of ideas has settled, we're gonna go with plan C. There's always gonna be one. At least one, that their plan was plan A. And it doesn't matter how many times you circle that runway, if they're a stubborn, prideful person, they're like, yeah, but what about A? Could we revisit A? I really liked A. Why can't we do A? And everybody in the room, if you've been in a meeting, you better nod your head or say amen. If you've been in the meeting where everybody else is finally like, we get it. We're not going with A. We've already decided. C it is. Have you ever been frustrated that it didn't matter how much everybody else agreed, you couldn't get that person to agree? It's hard to build consensus with stubborn people. Have you ever tried to create consensus with clueless people? There's a difference between stubborn and clueless. Stubborn is unwilling. Clueless is unaware. You ever like you sit there and you tell somebody and they start going, yeah, yeah, yeah. Has anybody ever seen this? You're like, hey, we're gonna do this. I go, yeah, 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 yeah. Every time someone ever is saying, yeah, 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 in your mind, you need to go, no, 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 no. They don't have it. They don't get it. I can't tell you how many times I've been like, okay, we're gonna do this, and yeah, 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 yeah. And then like, no, it wasn't even close. Like, clearly, they aren't listening, because the fruit of whether or not they were listening was in how they execute, and they prove to you over and over again that they aren't going to execute the plan. Now, there's hope for the stubborn and for the clueless, but we need to ask ourselves in this environment, whenever we are not singing the same song, that relationships will always suffer when we start singing different songs. Have you ever asked a couple? For instance, like you've been with a couple and you're sitting out and like maybe you're at the game and you're asking like, what's going on this weekend? Have you ever sat there and start watching a couple tell a completely different agenda about what their weekend looks like? Has anybody ever seen this occur? Clearly, they are not on the same page. And she's like, well, did you not get the calendar invite? And someone missed an email, someone missed a text, and now they're singing different songs. They're going in different directions. And if as a couple, we don't get on the same page, if we don't get in sync, if we're not in agreement, then it inevitably leads to conflict. If you are not in sync in your office, I'm sure most of you are familiar with the sitcom that was still extremely popular, called The Office, right? The Office, like Dwight and Andy perpetually do not seem like they are in sync, and everyone else knows it but them. Do you guys ever watch that show? Like, have you ever been in an office where everybody is in sync and there's always one person that's kind of running off in their own direction? Isn't it amazing how much time and resource it takes to run a company whenever you have someone who is not in sync, someone who is not singing the same song? They are marching to the beat of their own drum, and they are not fortifying the team. As a matter of fact, we would say that they're placing self above team. And so we need to always ask ourselves, if we are ever out of step, we need to look towards our agreement. Where are we at in agreement? Because if we don't have agreement, well, we might start walking together, but over time we will drift apart. Distance is the inevitable fruit whenever there is a lack of congruity. So when you think about a marriage, imagine that you start singing different songs, but it's not something like missing a T-ball practice. What if you start singing a different song as to what your priorities are? What if you start singing a different song about what value there is in church or God, community? What if you have unsettled disagreements? Does anybody else have that high spot in your house, in your carpet, where you keep sweeping things under the rug? Does anybody else have that place where it's like, oh, it's just a little thing, so let's just sweep it under the rug. We're not gonna deal with it. We know it's an unresolved disagreement, unsettled, but you know what? We're not gonna deal with that. We're not gonna fight about it. Let's just sweep it under the rug. And then one day that little thing turns into a big thing. How important is it for you to be in agreement as a couple as you walk together? What about unreconciled debts? Do you think that numbers ever end up mattering? Let's imagine that the amount you want to pay for a bill is less than the amount the bank expects you to pay. If you pay less than what the bank expects you to pay, I will assure you, they will come take it from you. I guarantee you they will. Unreconciled debts, sometimes we turn a blind eye and we don't want to deal with financial pressures and issues. And if we're not in agreement as a couple, if we're not in an agreement as a corporation, then that little thing will turn into a big thing, and unreconciled debt is a terrible pressure on relationships. So as we think about walking together in agreement, I want you to begin thinking, when it comes to your marriage, are you guys in agreement about what God's will is for your relationship? If you ever feel out of step, you should check your agreement. Like, am I in disagreement somewhere? Like, if Jesus said he's all about people to the point he came to seek and to save that which is lost, and that he gave everything up so that we could have the opportunity to be saved, then is that what you're about? Are you walking in agreement with his plan for your life? Are you walking in agreement with his plan for your marriage? Are you walking in agreement with his plan for your profession, for your passion, for your purpose? If you're starting to feel that distance, if you're starting to feel that divide, well, I would check my agreement. And if you could come back together today and get into agreement with God about it, I promise you, when two couples aim at God, guess what happens? If they have a central focus point, they always come closer together. Anytime two objects are moving toward the same point, they must come closer together. So instead of aiming at what you want or aiming at what they want, what if we aimed at what God wants? And then we all win. You know, there's power in agreement. People respond when they see the power of agreement. There was a viral video, I think it was last year. Did anybody see the Chick-fil-A lady that loved Chick-fil-A? Anybody see that? I don't have time to show the 2 minutes and like 38 seconds of greatness that went viral, but we are gonna show you 10 seconds, and this is her response to the amazing customer service that is Chick-fil-A. Can we give it up for Chick-fil-A for just a moment? I want you to watch as she gets emotional about her food being served to her at Chick-fil-A. Watch with me.
I'm about to eat with gratification. I didn't mind paying for that. I didn't even mind. Swipe my card. Swipe my card, Chick-fil-A. Woo, I got a tear.
Swipe my card. Oh, I love it. I love it. She's saying she doesn't even mind paying for it. The service was so great. Isn't that a lesson for us? Have you ever tried to go to other fast food places or almost any department store these days? Have you ever noticed like how they look at you almost with disdain that you're interrupting their time on their phone? Can I get a witness? Can I get a amen, hallelujah, praise Jesus on that? It's like, where is there like another training class that goes on that says to people, like I go up to make my order and they're just like, what? Okay. Yeah, it'll be ready in a minute. I'm like, do managers not care just about a smile? Can I share with something to all of the younger generation in here? Your life as a whole will go better for you if you learn to smile, say thank you, and you're welcome, and the church said amen. Oh, gosh. I'm trying to set some people free in this house today. Gosh. Used to be that was the expectation. Culture has shifted. I don't know why. But Chick-fil-A gets it right. Swipe my card. The power. Man, the power of agreement. When you experience great customer service and you see that it's consistent throughout an organization, it's impressive. It's hard for you not to react to when you're treated right and treated well. I thought of a couple of examples in the Bible where they were singing the same song. In Acts chapter 16, there's a great story of Paul and Silas, this missionary team. They were locked up in a prison. And it says at the midnight hour, which I had a hard time not doing the midnight special. But anyway, at the midnight hour, it says they began to praise and they began to pray. And so they were sitting there in this terrible situation, and all they could think to do was pray and begin to sing. And it says as they were praying and as they were singing, it says that the other prisoners were listening. And all of a sudden, there was a great earthquake. All right? Oh, gosh. You want to know what the power of agreement is? It says because Paul and Silas were singing the same song, because they aligned their prayer and their praise, it said that it shook the foundation of the prison that everyone else was in. And when it shook the foundation of the prison, it says that the doors opened up and the chains fell off. Do I even need to preach this? I mean, are you guys excited about this? You should be excited about this, because if our church prayer and praise ever gets aligned, when you come in here on a Sunday and the worship is right, oh my goodness, wouldn't it be incredible if we came to the realization that us being in agreement as God's people is what allows someone else's prison to be shaken, and someone else's door to be opened, and someone else's chains to fall to the ground, all because we prayed and we praised and we were singing the same song. Let's give it up for what God does when we're singing the same song. Man, says the jailer stumbled in. Put it up there. And he said, what must I do to be saved? His response to the power of agreement, he said, swipe my card. Swipe my, whatever you're selling, I want it. Swipe my card. And he gets saved as a result of their prayer and their praise. Man, you need to make sure that your heart is right when you come to worship on Sunday. Can I get, someone else's breakout is directly proportionate to your breakthrough. And if our worship is right, their prison gets shaken, their doors get open, and their chains fall off. That wasn't because the prisoners were praying. It wasn't because the prisoners were praising. It's because God's people were in agreement. You see, when we get into agreement, other people benefit. That's why you matter. That's why you need to show up on a Sunday. You say, well, I just go and all I do is sing the song. Yeah, that's all we do. We come in here and we sing the songs. Why do you think we do that? Do you think that's just because every church sings? No, because we are inviting the presence of God to shake prisons for people every single week. And one of you stumbled in at some point in our church's history and you walked in to a prayer and a praise of somebody else. And when you walked in, guess what happened? Your prison got shook, your door got opened, and your chains fell off. Now do that for someone else every Sunday. And the church said, amen. Yes, 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 yes. You know what? If you guys are ever wondering, does your participation affect the sermon? Yes, it does. It does. We try to train our people in our culture. I want you to know that when you are affirming God's word in his presence, you are saying yes to that. So I would encourage you in our church culture, you need to be involved in this process. I promise you. You don't have to get crazy, but I'm just saying it makes a difference. It makes a difference. It's part of our prayer and it's part of our praise when we are in agreement with God's word. Not only do we see that in Acts chapter 16, I'm going to dip into 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I have to summarize. This is one of my favorite all-time stories in the Old Testament. I try not to even go into this place because there's so much. I could do 10 weeks like I did with David on this one chapter. In the Old Testament, there was a king named Jehoshaphat. Number one, he's got one of the coolest names of all time because he's P-H-A-T, fat, okay? And so here is Jehoshaphat. He's a rather young king of Judah, and that's the southern kingdom, which really ends up being the godly kingdom. It's kind of the way of David in that line and where Jesus is going to ultimately come through. And so anyway, they did more good, or more good. They did better at following after God. The northern tribes, they failed miserably. And so anyway, he is in trouble because his enemy, several of them, have surrounded him. Three nations have banded together to come against him, and he's a little bit in a freak out mode when you start reading 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And whenever he gets into freak out mode, he appeals to the promise that God had already made. And he said, God, you said that if we built a house for you, which was the one that David had built, the temple. He said, if we built a house for you and we were ever in trouble, whether it was because you were judging us because we've gone astray, or just that the sin that's in this world, our enemy was coming against us, that if we ever found ourselves surrounded and in trouble, that if we ever came to the house that we built for your name and we humbled ourselves and we asked for help, that you would hear and that you would save us. Now that's a sermon, just in and of us, that's for free. But we have built a house so that people can find help when they feel surrounded, right? When you feel the enemy is coming against you and you don't have anywhere else to turn, we have built a house that you can find help. And so he comes before God and he makes this request known unto God, and all the people come around and he prays one of the boldest prayers in the Bible, because when you're sitting at the top in the seat of power, it's hard to be humble. And he closes his prayer. He says, God, in front of everyone, God, I don't know what to do. How hard is it when you're sitting in the position of power to admit you don't know what to do? How many of you are still holding on in your pride, not willing to admit in your money, your marriage, your spiritual life? Have you reached a point where you don't know what to do? Boy, wouldn't that be a powerful prayer if someone just said out loud today, during our reflection time, they just said, God, help me, I don't know what to do. He said, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. Man, I don't know what to do, but I know where to look. This morning, I hope you understand that you may not know what to do, but I can tell you where to look. If you would look toward God, he's always going to beam down the answer that you need at just the right time. It says that the Spirit fell on this other Levite from the tribe of Asaph, and he began praying and praising, and he began prophesying, telling the message back to Jehoshaphat what God was going to do. And his message back was, hey, I have some great news. You're not even going to have to fight this battle. That tomorrow when you march out there, God is going to fight for you. You're not even going to have to swing a sword. Imagine getting to hear a message like that, that God himself was going to take on the enemy that you had no idea how to fight or what to do. Now, Jehoshaphat does something very interesting. Only time in the Bible that this happens. We'll put the verse up on the screen. It says the next day when they went out to the battle, that he took the guys that were the singers, okay, the worshipers, and he put them in front of the army. Huh? Notice that? He says, as we go out, the singer guys, the harp guys, bow and arrow guys, you get behind, sword guys, get behind, harps, lyres, you know, you guys, you get out there in front. Militarily speaking, this is a terrible plan, just so you know. Never go into battle with the harp player. Anyway, so they put the worshipers in front of the warriors. You see this? It gives us a priority. Where do we need to position worship in our life? Because most people in here, self-made, right? You're self-made. You would rather fight for it than faith for it. You would rather work for it than worship for it. But what you're going to find is that the greatest battles we will ever fight are ones that we cannot win with brute force. For instance, you want someone to love you. You can't make them love you. You want to parent your kids and make them into successes. Guess what? You can't make them into what you want them to be. You want that next title, but someone else is making the decision. You can't brute force your way to that. When we think about our spiritual life, the greatest battle we ever need to figure out how to win, where we're going to spend eternity. You can't work, the Bible says, and earn your salvation. You can't fight so hard that you tame eternity. It says that Jesus Christ went to the cross and he died so that we might have the opportunity to be saved. In other words, the only way I can win the battle for eternity and forgiveness and redemption, restoration and resurrection, the only way that I can win that battle is to lose my pride and say, God, I have reached the end of the road of sin and I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. The way, the truth, and the life is in Jesus. The song that they sang that day on the battlefield is give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. The same song we sing at the cross is give thanks to the Lord because his love endures forever. Now watch this, the last verse, it says, as they began to sing, watch this, oh gosh, as they began to sing and praise, the Lord started winning on their behalf. Listen, worshipers, you guys get out in front, little flute. Okay, that was out there, that was going on. And it says, the moment that they opened their mouth and began to sing, the moment they began to worship, God started winning. Worship created possibilities that were otherwise impossible. Why is it important that you learn to bring out the worshiper and put him or her ahead of your warrior? Because if you will worship ahead of your desire to be a warrior and you'll put God in the first seat, it opens up possibilities for your enemies to be defeated without you even having to lift a finger. As a matter of fact, when we think about it all the way through, God said, I am making myself available that when my people worship the right way, I say, swipe the card. That's what God literally said. As soon as they started singing, God swiped the card and he started winning on their behalf, enemies that they didn't know what to do with. There's some people sitting in here today. You don't know what to do. You don't know where to turn. What if I told you if you would worship first, that the provision and the preparation, it's already there. That God would swipe the card for those that worship him. That he would provide and prevail every time if you put your worshiper ahead of your warrior. That prisons would be shaken. That doors would be open. And that chains would fall off. All because his people worshiped the right way. It matters what you do every Sunday at Genesis Metro. It matters what you do every day out there in the workplace. The prisoners are listening. They need to hear what praise, authentic praise, sounds like when we're singing the same song. Every church is supposed to be based on the Bible, but not every church is the same. If we were singing the same song, I think our impact on our lost and dying world would be so much greater. We get caught up in all the wrong things. What we wear, what Bible, what song, the music too loud. Hey, let me tell you something. None of that matters compared to Jesus Christ crucified and him, his ability uniquely to save lost souls. And so I hope today, as we worship, I want you to be cognizant in a way maybe above average for you, that your worship and the spirit with which you give it, that person three aisles over, their prison is shaking as a result of your prayers and your praise. Wouldn't that change the way you do it? You might not be able to use it. I don't like to sing. I'm afraid I'll be too loud. But what if it was for your family? What if your kid is in a prison this morning, and until mom and dad learn to put the worshiper in front of the warrior, they're going to stay locked up? What if your spouse was sitting there in that prison this morning? Oh, wouldn't you worship a little bit different to get them out? Oh, I promise you that there are wins to be had here today, and it will be directly impacted by how we worship. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask that you would move in the hearts of men and women, that God, you would redirect our paths, that we would come into agreement with you, and God, that we would worship with the expectation that the earth is going to shake, that the doors are going to open, that the chains are going to fall off, and that people are going to run in not knowing what is going on. And as they sit in the air of worship, God, they begin asking themselves, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to have what they have? Oh, I pray this morning that we are the reflection of the gospel of Jesus Christ in how we worship. I pray that you would know that how you live, if you're living that Sunday Christian life and it's all a fake and it's all a facade, how you live impacts eternity for others. Man, that'll sober you right up, won't it? That someone might miss heaven because you were busy doing that, whatever it is. You were chasing after all the wrong things. Come on. God sent me here today to remind you that your worship needs to come first. That he earned it. He earned it at the cross. That we could say, God, we thank you because your love endures forever. Someone needs to hear that today. Someone needs to hear it today that God's love still endures for you. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, God's love is greater than your sin. He's ready to swipe the card today. Are you willing to give him your heart so that he can redeem it and restore it? Come on. Someone sitting in a prison cell today, ready for a breakout. ready to hear someone worship with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind. Church, let's stand to our feet as we begin to sing.